Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen talk radio show. My guest for this morning is Marie Georgopoulos. She is an intuitive counselor, healer, and spiritual mentor. Marie and I will be discussing how you can reclaim the real you with transformational meditation. We will also be talking about the launching of her new worldwide consciousness movement, Meditation for Moms, which will debut on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio on Tuesday, April 7. Good morning, Marie. Welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you, Johnny?
Doing very well. It is a pleasure to have you on the air with me. I've always been intrigued by the benefit of meditation and the journey of self-discovery. So I'm really excited to get started. Let us start by getting to know you a little better. Please give us a quick walkthrough of your life from childhood to the present moment.
Okay, I'll try to be brief. This is a long story. Well, anyway, many of you probably listening had a similar childhood to what I experienced, since I tend to attract those kinds of people. But some of you may have had a different story, but with a similar tone. In any event, I grew up in New York, and both of my parents were dysfunctional. My father was an alcoholic most of his life, and most of his family were also alcoholics as well. My mother, she had many emotional issues and was oftentimes depressed. My father, of course, was angry most of his life, and he was abusive to all of us. I witnessed my father beat my brother and hit my mother on many occasions, and he was, of course, a heavy-handed disciplinary to us girls. And then probably around the age 12, I started to experience sexual abuse from my father. And my mother, of course, had alluded that this started earlier, but I don't really remember anything earlier than that. My sister, she also experienced sexual abuse and was a recovering addict. She had chronic illnesses, health illnesses, and she died recently at the age of 43 from those health issues and from just the chronic illnesses and I feel the emotional issues that she was going through as well. My mother and also her mother both died of cancer at the age of 42, as well as my father's mother, who committed suicide at the age of 60. She was actually an alcoholic, and so were her sisters, and they literally drank themselves to death. My parents divorced when I was 11 years old, after we moved to Texas from New York at the age of 10. And this divorce was really devastating to my mother. She had a really difficult time in caring for herself and really couldn't care very well for us children as well. To make a long story kind of short, we went back and forth between my father and my mother for a while. My mother lived in states of poverty and some very unclean conditions. And so we would be flipped back and forth between my father and mother. I actually had developed chronic health issues of sinusitis and asthma as a child, and those issues continued into my adult life. I actually knew that the only way that I was going to get out of all of this dysfunction was to go to college and get a stable career. And so I was a really good student. I'd always been smart. I applied myself in school. And I did end up having a very successful fashion design career before I got into this career. after I had my daughter in my mid-30s, my chronic illnesses worsened, and all of the steroids that I had been on for years and the operations that I had to assist with these illnesses, they really weakened my immune system, and it was shutting down. My adrenals were just blown out, and I, at the time, of course, was a workaholic. I was a pessimist, a major perfectionist, and a control freak. I used alcohol at the time and television to escape my pain and my anger. And, you know, as I said, my chronic illnesses worsened, and I decided to take a couple of months off of work for these health concerns. And I was laying there on the couch, unable to really care for my daughter, who was about 3 years old at the time, when I came to this realization that something really had to change. I was determined not to die young like my mother did, and I didn't want my daughter to have the type of mother that I had, one who, you know, was sick all the time and unable to care for us. I decided then at that point that I would come clean with my husband and my stepmother about the sexual abuse that went on in our family, and also at that time face my father about it as well, primarily because it was time and secondly because they wanted my daughter, you know, spending the night over there, and I just couldn't really allow that. I then decided to pursue alternative healing for my chronic illnesses because nothing else was working. Mm-hmm. And I knew there had to be a better way. So this led me down a very divinely orchestrated path from there. I started out with healing my body with naturopathy, and then into homeopathy, which works on the subtle bodies. This led me into Reiki, which is an energy art that I studied all the way to the master teacher level. And then during this time, I studied many different healing modalities and metaphysics as well. And I was kind of like a kid in a candy store during this time, discovering myself really for the first time. And I wanted to go deeper into why I was here, what my purpose was, how can I heal myself? Of course, I had a great deal of inner work to do on myself, but something was pulling me toward a goal of healing my body until it was completely resolved. It's like I knew fervently inside myself that there was a cure for my asthma and a cure for my sinusitis, that I didn't have to live this way the rest of my life. And I can look back now on it, and I can see things clearly, how they all kind of transpired to help me to kind of catalyze change in myself. And not only that, but align with my true desires as a soul.
At any time, did you feel like you were abandoned in a way from a standpoint of family connection with your parents, with your siblings, and so forth?
Yeah, of course, I felt like, you know, the lone wolf out on her own many times. I definitely felt abandoned, you know, left alone to soothe myself. And I did that through books, you know, and I did that many times. I was there for my mother, a shoulder to cry on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did. I didn't feel like I fit in with my family at all. You know, I can remember times just sitting there thinking, man, what is going on with these people? And you know, I used to climb up into the trees and be by myself and just sing. And the singing was a way for me to really center myself and to, you know, release the day and to hide sometimes too.
Sure. When did you discover you have the special gift of being an intuitive healer?
Well, it was through the desire to really heal my body and all of the emotional issues that were causing these illnesses. Mm-hmm. I kept really seeking ways to go beyond what Reiki, you know, was teaching me, because I really wanted to get to the core of the issues, you know, that were from my childhood, those deep-seated beliefs. And so this really led me deep into the study of the energetic bodies, the study of consciousness, of metaphysics, of course, meditation, and how to clear the subconscious beliefs. It was during all of this study and healing work that I discovered my passion for metaphysics, mm-hmm. and, of course, the healing arts and psychic awareness. Of course, I also sought, you know, other healers to help me. I was into astrology and numerology, anything that would discover the meaning of life and why I was here and who I was. Of course, my own intuitive counselors helped me to find out my purpose. And as I did this in practice, what I had been taught, my gifts as an intuitive counselor and, of course, healer and mentor were shown to me, and I continued to develop them over the years.
At the time when you're doing all this, did you ever feel like you were cut off from your divinity, I guess, in a way, or your spirit, for that matter?
Yeah, I did. I mean, there were often times that I felt lost and very confused in my life, mm-hmm. even during times when I feel there was great awakening. Yeah. But I know now, you know, why that happened. There, I needed to become clear. I needed to understand my purpose. I needed to put my mind to it and think things through and know what I desired. There was even a time in my life, Johnny, when I was questioning the existence of God and what God was to me. Eventually, that unfolded into a much more brilliant version than what I was taught in Catholic school. Mm-hmm. And I really learned to embrace my divinity by recognizing what it meant to me and by seeing it reflected back to me through my spirit guides, through my mentors, my dear, dear friends, and, of course, my family. And, of course, my awakening to, you know, my divine self took compassion. It took an ability to love myself. And enough of this to ask the questions, too, and to seek the answers inside, within myself. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that it is a creative process with our mind and the omniverse, the all-knowing universe, mm-hmm. within our source being, this awakening process. And meditation, of course, is key to any awakening process, as it assists us always in developing a sense of well-being and in finding the small, still voice that lies within us, that speaks to us through our emotions, mostly, you know, when we're conscious. Of course, this is a much deeper conversation than this show has time to to go into.
Yeah.
But I do encourage the listeners to find a spiritual mentor to assist them in embracing mm-hmm. their authentic selves.
Yeah.
I know that I couldn't have done it alone.
Yeah.
Any of the listeners, you know, today can, of course, go to my website. There's lots of resources there. That's hearttransformations.com. There's also a free gift on my home page called Healing and Awakening the Heart. This is an MP3 series and a study series where you're going to go inward. There's also some great transformational meditations that you'll use, healing meditations.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to help them to open their heart and help them to work through those core issues that really hold them back from discovering the real them, the divine self inside of them.
Very interesting. What are some of the struggles that you think people are facing right now that meditation practices can assist them?
Well, I see really a lot of people struggling with stress, of course, mm-hmm. and overwhelm in their journey, especially during these times, because we are going through a time in humanity right now that I know this in my heart, that we're in a mass awakening on this planet, and our higher selves our I Am presences are calling us to really activate our life purpose and live more fulfilling lives. This means that everything that is unlike it is coming to the surface to be resolved. And so I think a lot of people are struggling with imbalance, with great imbalance in their journey, and an imbalance that starts with a lack of care of oneself. And I see also many people with a lack of focus and direction in their life. And of course, this leads to a lot of stagnating energy. In my line of work, I see also a lot of people who have chronic emotional and health issues that lead to chronic fatigue. And so meditation can really assist in all of these things and much, much more.
One of the things that I've always heard about people talking about meditation is that it's difficult to do. And then the other aspect of meditation is that, oh, well, I don't want to go and embrace this sort of a Eastern religion, so to speak. Can you shed a little bit more light about what healthy meditation is all about?
Yeah, I mean, really, you know, this is one of the things, too, I talk about in my my guide, my meditation guide, sorry, that we'll talk about a little bit later, called The Art of Transformational Meditation, that there's this big mystery around meditation. And, you know, the Eastern versus Western philosophies of it. You know, for me, meditation can be very simple. It can be a simple calming of your energy, relaxing of your body, and a practice to meet, or let's just say blend with, your higher consciousness. Mm-hmm. It's a time, you know, it can of course be something, and it depends upon the purpose of the individual and what it is that, you know, what level they are or what place they are in their journey into meditation. But for people, you know, who are looking to transcend ego, that's their sole purpose. And so there's deep mysticism that's involved in that, and spiritual awakening, of course, that's involved in that. And that's the intent behind it. And so the spirit, you know, actually guides you through that process once you begin to entrain with your open heart. So I find the first thing, the best thing to do is to read, get to know what meditation, you know, types of meditations would feel good to you, you know, play around with them and see how you feel as you're doing them. Because the one that feels the best for you is going to be the one that your soul wants for you at that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried many, many different meditations to begin with. Right now I'm really into binaural beats and brain technology, where it helps the both sides of the brain to operate more effectively. And of course, this is to help me to entrain with my higher consciousness and as a channel, and you know, working with spirit guides, that's important for me. But it's also really good for calming oneself and releasing stress, and quieting the mind and building synapses between the hemispheres so that you can actually, you know, relate to your higher consciousness. So there's really no mystery in it, other than that when we first sit down to meditate, a lot of times we'll get a busy mind. And people will think, oh, I'm not doing it right. There's something wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know. But that's actually very natural, because what happens during that process, you have the intent to quiet your mind. You have the intent to blend with your higher consciousness, if that's your intent, or to awaken to your spirit, whatever, you know, your purpose is. And then your brain, your higher consciousness, is going to guide you, of course, but your brain starts to build these synapses between the left and the right hemisphere. The right one accesses your intuition. The left is your logical thinking mind. And so in order for them to speak well to each other, they have to build the gateways for that. And so that's where thoughts start to come in. The thoughts actually help to build these bridges, so to speak. So the best thing to do is let them be. You know, just be the kind of the conscious, the observer of them, without any attachment to them. I like to put them into bubbles in my mind and just let them float up into the air. Or think of them as, you know, ocean, that's just waves passing by. But be okay with them. And the less you bring attention to them, the less they'll be. Because whatever you put your attention on will grow.
Right. How long have you practiced meditation?
I've been practicing for about 8 or 9 years now. And my practice has been on and off, you know, sometimes very consistent and sometimes not. There's a period of time, especially when I was attuned to Reiki, where I, you know, was practicing on myself every day. And you really need to be in a meditative state to practice this healing
part.
Right. So for me, that was a, you know, a consistent approach to a healing type of meditation. And then there were other meditations that I did steadily for years at a time. I have noticed that when I get out of my meditation practice, I am less focused, I am less clear in my mind, I get more mentally fatigued. So it's my key indication to get back into the habit and, you know, get clearer in my mind. It's one of the key benefits of meditation.
What types of meditations are there out there?
Well, there are many. There are as many meditations as there are purposes for meditation.
Yeah.
But, you know, I find that there are meditations for healing, you know, like healing your chakras. There are meditations, many, many types of guided meditations with all kinds of different purposes, for spiritual awakening purposes, for enlightenment purposes, for exploring and meeting your guides, you know, your spirit guides and angels. There are ones for, you know, crystallizing a vision that you may have. There's meditations that are chanting and oming, you know, or prayer, or even, you know, mantras that bring us into connection with our holy self. There are sacred symbols that one can meditate on as well, like the Sanskrit for the word Om, the figure eight, the infinity sign. There's a heart-focused meditation that I love myself, where I put attention on my heart space. They can find out more about that, again, in the Art of Transformational Meditation Guide that I have online. And so for me, I like to meditate with sound, some kind of soft sound. There's breath work. I always use breath work and deep breathing. But there's all kinds of breath work called pranayama that will help to still the body and still the mind. And so anytime you can put focus, especially light focus, on either your breath or on a guided meditation or on a chant or sound even, your thoughts will become less and less. And it does help to build those synapses for left and right brain interface as well.
Interesting. Can you tell us some of the benefits meditation has contributed to your well-being in your personal journey?
Yeah. Personally, I have seen, you know, an increased awareness, health and abundance of living. Release of worry and stress and release of disease, you know, release of symptoms that I may be going through and experiencing. I've even had, during meditation, instantaneous pain release. From one instance, I had burnt fingers with severe blisters on them, and I needed to get ready for a client who was coming in 20 minutes. And so I dropped down into my heart space. I put focus there, and I imagined my hand before it was burnt. And within seconds, the pain went away and never came back. I've used it to calm my mind, of course, and to have a greater sense of well-being, better sleep. I mean, I was an insomniac for years.
Mm-hmm.
And my meditation, of course, helped to calm my nerves and help me to deep, you know, to get into that alpha state, because that's what's happening when you go into meditation. You're going into alpha state, which is, of course, the pre-state before you go into deeper states that take you into sleep. So that and emotional release, I see emotional release still in my meditation sometimes. And, of course, accessing higher awareness and my spirit guides. That was one of the things that I trained myself early on to do, is to, because I wanted it so badly.
Yeah.
I wanted to really, meet my guides, and I wanted to work with inspiration. It's just a part of my intrinsic nature to be inspired, to offer inspiration, and to receive inspiration. So that was one of the things meditation helped me with.
Let's talk about your work in meditation and helping others. So how does meditation assist someone in reclaiming their authentic self, their real self?
Well, meditation, especially, like I said, with a purpose behind it, and in this case it would be in reclaiming your authentic or your real self, I feel that it assists one primarily in returning to a state of well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And from this state of well-being, you have access to your intuitive self. You'll find that your sixth sense will kick in more. We all have these five senses that we experience through our conscious mind, sight and smell and touch and so forth. And then we're born with this sixth sense, this sort of psychic sense. Most people experience it through their gut reactions or their, what I call their clear knowing, their clear cognizance, where they just feel something, or they know right in their, in their heart space that something's wrong with their child, something of that nature. That's their sixth sense. We've all experienced where we've walked into a room that's with a bunch of people and you can feel the negative energy. Again, that's our sixth sense. And meditation will help us to begin to open up to our clair abilities, our abilities to perceive beyond the physical. And I feel that as you get more grounded in your well-being, you'll begin to be guided and inspired more toward creating a vision for yourself and then activating around that vision. And actually doing this opens your psychic centers because it activates the third eye, which is, of course, at the seat of awareness between your brow center here. And that helps you to ground your divinity even more in this reality. So meditation also assists you, in creating your psychic awareness. But most of all, it helps you in opening your heart and in accessing the higher dimensions of who you are through your heart. You'll find that your responses in life will become less reactive and more mindfully active. More conscious, and you'll bring light to these sort of unconscious behavior sets and thoughts and beliefs, because you'll want more. You'll be opening up to your heart's desires. And your authentic self is, of course, an emotionally, physically, mentally well self, who is grounded in spirit. And that's what a meditation practice can bring to you.
How easy it is to meditate and how soon can you see results?
Yeah. Well, I feel like it's as easy as, meditation is as easy as making the commitment to do it.
Okay.
And then sitting in an upright position, I do recommend that you sit and meditate, as this will help you, keep you from falling asleep, because the object is to go only into alpha state and alpha awareness during this time. And it's as easy as breathing. It's as easy as allowing yourself to breathe. And I feel like we make it more difficult at times. Mm-hmm. And we have this sort of expectation, right, of a big spiritual connection or awakening during the process. And some people do experience that. But I find that it's best to have positive expectation that your soul will guide you, and to detach from the outcome of your experience, to know that anything that transpires during your meditation is perfect, whole, and complete, and in alignment with what you desire. It's just the next phase of your development. I see meditation as a process, or the becoming of your awareness. So all those little things that you go through, like the agitation and the not being able to still your mind, and sometimes people even fall asleep during meditation. Mm-hmm. They are all part of the process of your becoming what it is that you desire in your meditation. For me, it was awakening to my heart. And so for me, I had a lot of emotional release that went on during my meditation, where I would just start crying for no reason, or I would get very frustrated or angry.
Mm-hmm.
And I would see this, you know, and at first I didn't know what was happening to me, but as I studied more and became more, you know, listened to my mentors and teachers, I realized that this was just a way for me to let go of the emotion so that I can come back to well-being. Because those emotions get buried inside us. And so I started to see results right away, you know, within 14 mm-hmm. days, really. And I think, you know, if you practice for 30 days, you know, every day for 30 days for 15 minutes or so every day, you don't really have to do more than this in the beginning. And you don't have to do more than this ever. It's that, you know, that's a part of your passage, you'll know when to go deeper. But after 30 days, you should be seeing results where you feel calmer, you feel clearer, you feel less reactive, and you don't have the same emotional triggers that you would throughout the day.
What I hear is that meditation has helped you to experience a soul and emotional cleansing.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Definitely, which was very purposeful for me as a healer.
Mm-hmm.
It was purposeful for me to do my own inner work so that I could relate better to people down the road. I mean, I had a vision way before I was born to be a healer and to mm-hmm. be a teacher. And therefore, I had to step into it in an authentic approach. And I can only do that through experiencing, right, through experiencing
yeah.
and transcending, and then relating back to people what I experienced and teaching them what I know, the wisdom that I gained from
yeah.
the application of study.
It took you 14 days to realize or experience this wonderful revelation of yourself. How long does it take? Well, in this case, let me put it this way. How many times do people have to meditate? Do we do it every day for the next 14, 15, 30 days? Or is it something that we can do it every other day? And then if we were to do it for 30 days, can we quit for a while and then get back into it and so forth?
Yeah, I would say that I recommend and highly recommend that you make it a part of your spiritual practice on a, every day.
Mm-hmm.
And when you first start, this might be an emotional trigger for your parts of you who don't want to come back to wholeness. But, you know, knowing that is okay, that if you can only do 3 times a week, set a tangible goal for yourself. If every day doesn't feel like you can meet that right now, then do 2 times a week. Work up to 3 times and 4 times until you can, you know, get into it every day. The consistency will breed more alignment and at a faster pace, of course, with your soul. So I find, like, even with Reiki and doing the healing meditations, the deeper I went into it, the more I needed to meditate. And so you'll feel that way. You'll feel like, wow, I've got to get my meditation in today. Because you can see the kind of old you start to creep back in to your day. Right. And so you'll find it, you know, I look at this part of my journey, this precious time for myself, as a time of self-care and a time of self-love and self-nurturing. It is a time for me to really come back to not only the divine self, you know, my divine self, but a homeostasis of allowing. And it just makes my day go much smoother if I can start my day, you know, in a centered, being present, more focused, more open, calmer me. And of course, this is an attractive state of being. So, you know, we live in an attractive universe, and I won't go too deep into this, but like attracts like. If I'm starting my day in stress, then more stress is attracted to me. If I'm starting my day in calm and peace and in joy at times, then that's what I'll attract to me. When you feel good, your day goes good. When you feel bad,
right,
your day goes
right.
bad.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you have to pick out a specific time of the day to do this and then stick with it, or can you just sort of one day do it at one particular time, the next day do it at a different time?
Yeah, I find that consistency is best. There are people who are really into ritualistic approaches in their life and need that sort of ritualistic regimen of, you know, I do it every morning at 6 a.m. and, you know, I meditate for X amount of time. I like flexibility in my schedule, so I make a commitment to get my meditation in before I start my work day. Now, that may change during the morning time. It may not be, you know, first thing in the morning. I was doing it right after I would wake up in the morning, but now I do dream interpretation first, and then I go into my meditation, and then I'll eat breakfast and start my work day. Some people like to do it in the afternoon with a yoga practice, you know, or in the evening time. I find it's best not to do it in the evening time, only because we tend to want to fall asleep at the end of the day. It's a great way to start your day and start the momentum of the day toward positive things, to attracting more positive things in your life. And it opens you up to inspiration during the course of the day as well, because a well self can easily be an inspired self.
Very interesting. So not only does the meditation help you to find the true balance within your life, but it also acts as the me time. This is my alone time to really get grounded and power oneself from within.
Exactly. And we all need that. We, you know, actually, our guides, our inner guide, our higher self is always calling us to really ground our spiritual essence and to embody that in a more real way. And we have to actually allow our conscious mind not to be controlling, you know, our destiny, not to be, our unconscious mind controlling our destiny, but rather our conscious mind controlling it in a more aware way, you know, in a more enlightened way.
Right.
And so meditation can help us to be clear enough to be aware of those things that no longer serve us in our journey, to be aware of the dispositions, to be aware of, like I said, the emotional triggers, and to be able to still them.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you become more practiced in your meditation, you can actually even still yourself in these moments by taking those deep breaths. You actually train your subconscious, you train your unconscious to still itself. I do it through a mnemonic by putting my hand on my heart or touching my fingertips to my heart center.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will use a mudra, you know, a hand mudra during their meditation, so that any time you are in a position where you need peace and calm, you can simply do this mudra or this mnemonic, and you will begin to entrain your bodies, your heart space, with your divine self. And there's, of course, mechanics around this and reasons for this and why it happens. Yeah.
Very interesting. Let's talk about if there is a checklist that someone goes through to kind of let them know, hey, I need to start meditating to help me. Is there such a thing?
Yeah. Again, this is some of the things that I discuss in the Art of Transformational Meditation.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, A, number one, make the commitment to meditate. Number two, set up a sacred space for yourself to meditate. Now, this tends to be difficult for some people, especially if they're in a small space that they're sharing with someone. But I've had a friend who created a meditation space in her closet where she had a nice, you know, pillow. She set up crystals and she could go there and close the door and be by herself. You could do it outdoors. I like to do it in the same spot every day. Some people will even meditate in the shower because it's the only time that they get alone to themselves. And the water can be very cleansing and very stilling. So you take that 5 or 10 minutes to even just sit on the shower floor and meditate, or stand and allow the water to... But creating that sacred space is important because then it becomes habitual. And it's your place. You know, it's your place that the minute you walk into that space, you begin to calm yourself. The other thing I would recommend is to keep a journal. Not only a journal of your experiences in meditation, so that if you receive inspiration, that you jot it down, but tracking, you know, the things that you experience, eventually, you know, even to write questions in your journal and then wait for the responses from your meditation. I would say also that it's important to have some meditation music and some guided meditations that you can practice with. To get those, download those, get them on your phone or your iPod, and have them available. Those three things will get you started in the process.
Wonderful. That brings us to your upcoming show, Meditation for Moms, and its vision. Can you please tell us about your vision?
Yes. Thank you so much for asking this question, because I'm so excited about offering this show, I'm in such great gratitude to you, Johnny. I just wanted to say that for, you know, opening up a bi-monthly spot for me on your radio broadcast, and I really feel that this speaks to your stewardship of service in the personal growth industry, and also, you know, to those who are seeking wisdom and inspiration to live more abundantly. You have always been a joy to work with, and I'm looking forward to this journey together with you as well. But meditation for moms was actually an inspired thought that I received one day when I was thinking about, you know, what would be next for me. And I started to imagine how this might touch the heart of mothers all across the world and assist them in becoming mindfully loving stewards of life and home that would have a ripple effect out into community and beyond. And I see so many mothers today who are, like I said, in chronic fatigue, they're in overwhelm, they're frustrated, they're really out of touch with who they are as women. And they've forgotten how to love and care for themselves first and foremost so that they, you know, can get out of that chronic, what I call chronic doormat syndrome, where they've become a doormat for everyone's wills, or they're in mother martyrdom, where they've become these martyrs, you know, in their mothering. And some mothers become these what I call smother mothers, where they just love so much, you know, that they're just smothering their children. But I also see, you know, mothers battling with perfectionism like I did too, and a need to control everything and everyone. And they've lost focus. They've lost focus in their own dreams and lost themselves in people-pleasing and in other people's needs. And ultimately, they've lost their connection to their inner wisdom and their ability to flourish as women of value in home and society. So to me, you know, success in the home always starts with success in your heart. You know, and as matriarchs of the home front, I really feel it's our responsibility to find our inner home, nurture it back into wholeness, and then from this bucket that is filled, we can then fulfill the needs of others. So my vision for this radio show is to intuitively guide mothers through the process of transformational meditation in a way to return to self-love and well-being.
What a wonderful idea. I have to tell you, when you first approached me about this concept, I was thrilled, but I didn't know what exactly you were trying to get accomplished, and now I have a better understanding, and I hope people that listen to this show today will join you on the debut day, which is April 7th.
Yes, April 7th. There's actually even a website page that they can go to on my website, hearttransformations.com, and click on the tab radio show. There's a website, a page there that will describe, you know, what this journey is about, what are some of the things that benefits of being a part of the show. There they can also support our movement through the purchase of the Art of Transformational Meditation Guide. And with that will come the free gift, Healing and Awakening the Heart MP3 series that I talked about earlier. Again, this is a healing series that will really help you to open up to your heart, open up to your guidance and your intuition, and really release any old traumas and any feelings that just no longer serve you. And get you started, really, for the meditation series. We're also, through the purchase of that, going to be supporting two charities. One is called Error of Peace, and they are really focused on helping people to return to their divinity and back into wholeness. It is a consciousness movement that works with the angels and the enlightened ones. Then the other one is Women for Women, which is really helping women who are in war-torn areas who have been disempowered most of their journey, to empower themselves to learn and build new societies, to gain new skills, and to, you know, be better mothers and stewards of home and community. I think they're doing marvelous work as well. So all that is on the webpage, on my website, Heart Transformations, under Radio Show.
Fantastic. Do you have some success stories from your clients that you can share with us with regards to the benefits of meditation?
Yes, I've had so many different people come into my journey with me as I take people into, you know, 6-month journeys in programs with me. And of course, it's an unfolding. It's an unfolding of their, of who they truly are. Many of them came in having experienced physical, emotional, mental abuse, and sexual abuse at times too. And they leave feeling more empowered, more able to create their destiny. I've had people who have had major heart awakenings, have released just such, you know, despair. I've had couples come back together and reunite around a vision. People who open up, of course, to their intuition, to open up to their spirit guides and even channeling. I've had people who have cleared, you know, chronic diseases as well, and seen instantaneous pain release that's never come back on a chronic issue. So there's many levels of healing that happens and many levels of transformation, depending upon what the intent of the person is, of course, and where it is that their soul wants to take them. And that's my unique gift, is to really be able to intuitively guide people, you know, in knowing what it is that their higher self wants for them.
Interesting. What advice do you have for people that are wanting to do the meditation, but yet in a way having this fear of encountering the authentic me, so to speak?
Yeah. Well, first, we are a divine spark of the Creator, and there is no fear there. There is never any fear in that. It will shed light on fear, and the fear will dissipate. It cannot exist simultaneously alongside of your divine spark. Your spirit guides know this. And that's why we release during prayer and meditation and so forth. So there's no shame in feeling this fear, of course. It's something that it's almost like it's a program that the mass consciousness actually comes in with, this fear of God program, which is really fear of the divine inspiration of love and the knowingness that we are in control of our destiny, that no one out there is doing anything to us, okay? We are one, says my guides, and we are showing you how not to be victims in society. And that's part of the passage of time, and meditation will prove this to you, that we are here to be a blended persona with the higher will, which takes us on a journey. Sometimes it's an emotional journey, especially when we have wounds to heal. But those psychic journeys can be put aside, and we can begin to train our minds and train our consciousness to really co-create with the universe by understanding universal laws, by understanding our personal lessons and the universal lessons as well, and by showing up, applying our will. Because we create everything that's happening in our destiny is created by us. That was hard for me to take as a, you know, as a person who experienced such dysfunction in my childhood and sexual abuse.
True.
But it became clearer and clearer to me that that made such sense. That fear attracts fear.
Right.
And so know that all you have to do is ask for the release of that. You just ask your higher self, ask the Holy Spirit, ask your I Am Presence, ask God to release all fear of my divine self.
Wonderful.
And ask and you shall receive.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. Where can someone go to get more information about you and the Meditation for Moms program? I know you mentioned a little bit just now, but now is a good time to just repeat your website and so forth.
Yeah, so my website is hearttransformations.com, and you can go to the radio show tab on my website to find out more about Meditation for Moms. There will be the link to the actual broadcast page on from My Mama's Kitchen and the call-in information or to download the podcast, etc. That page will also have information on how to participate with us and to receive the Art of Transformational Meditation and the MP3 series that I talked about, Healing and Awakening the Heart, as well. Also, anybody who's interested in going deeper into a spiritual awakening program, on my services page, you can read about that. I have actually 2 spots available in my program right now at a very low introductory rate. After I fill those 2 spots, I will be raising my prices back up to the normal rate. But that program is for people who are really ready to shift. They're really ready to spiritually awaken and ground some of the spiritual lessons and universal laws, understand them and apply them. So it is a learning time. It is also a time for healing, a time for self-mastery, to come into your self-mastery. And, of course, you can always email me at marieg@hearttransformations.com if you have any questions.
Wonderful. By the way, we're coming close to the end of the hour. Since our show is about people, family, and living life, would you like to share a recipe for living with our listeners this morning?
Sure. So I'm an eternal optimist, and even when I'm in my darkest times, I'm able to find something to be positive about. So number one would be to cultivate a positive attitude towards your life and towards yourself. And this can start with appreciation and gratitude. Number two, I would say know yourself intimately. I've always said that to know yourself is to heal yourself. Digging deeper into the real you will cause you to bring light to the false you. And where there is light, there can't be dark. Number three, meditate with a purpose and intent. Number four, have faith in your divinity and your spirit guides. They will never let you down. Number five, learn and apply the laws of the universe. And, of course, these are just 5 that I'll share. There are many more things that I would add, but we're short on time, so I'll keep it at that.
Fantastic. Those are wonderful. Marie, thank you for the wonderful recipes for living and for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen. To all our listeners, please join me next Tuesday morning. My guest will be Leanne Tyman. She is a Hall of Fame speaker, author, and nurse. Her daring adventure during Operation Baby Lift in Vietnam has brought her to the latest collaborative endeavor with Chicken Soup for the Soul. Leanne and I will be discussing her latest book, The Joy of Adoption. For additional information about this show and future shows, please go to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio or fmmktalkradio.com. By the way, please plan to join Marie Jagopoulos on her debut Meditation for Moms series starting on Tuesday, April 7th. Thank you for listening and have a blessed week. Marie, it has been a true pleasure. Thank you again and have a blessed day.
Thank you too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.